Listener discretion. Firstly, in any of the stories that we cover in this episode, any of the humour will never be aimed towards any of the victims. Secondly, any impressions that are done are only done for the purpose of humour and mean no offence. Now, on with the episode.
So you're joined today by Grandad once again. Welcome to Better Show. Put on your tinfoil hat, look to the stars, because today is going to be a better show.
Imagine that it is nighttime. You are all alone on an overlook that spans hundreds of miles. There, you can not only see the land, but also gain a full appreciation of the universe above you. The stars, they shine bright tonight, almost too bright. You are alone, and yet you can never be alone ever again. The stars, they seem to be fading, and your vision with them. And with that, you remember exactly where you are.
And I'm also joined today by Oni.
Hey!
And today you've come to us with a bit of a subject.
Yeah, no, I have. My weird obsession.
That's cool. Do you want to introduce it to everyone?
So I am literally addicted to unicorns. Yeah.
No, that's cool. So how long have you been into unicorns?
Oh, years. I think probably since I was little.
That's cool.
But do you
No, I was just going to say, do you remember how the interest started?
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard, there's My Little Pony, there's the current show.
Yeah.
That's on, that's very animated and cute and colourful, but there was a really old one.
Okay.
That's terrifying, if you were to watch it now. And I think that's where I got my original obsession from.
Oh, okay. Do you remember what the original show is called, or is it still My Little Pony?
No, they were still called My Little Pony, except, these were a bit bigger and, chunkier and a bit more terrifying, and I specifically remember an episode where they did the sea ponies, and the sea ponies were, a whole different level of, scary.
Oh, okay.
Now that I think about it, it's probably why did I watch that? Why?
So would you say they're your favourite kind of mythological creature?
Yes, apart from dragons, because who doesn't like dragons?
No, fair enough. So you said that while you were out today with some friends, you'd managed to gain some facts on unicorns.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of stuff, and the whole idea of a unicorn actually dates back a very, very long time ago, and I didn't even realise until I started looking up at it.
Okay.
And I've got a whole timeline of from when they were first talked about until today.
Okay.
So,
do you have that with you?
I do.
Oh, okay. Do you want to go through some of it?
Yeah. So obviously most people know that a unicorn is a mythical animal typically represented as a horse with a single straight horn projecting from its forehead.
Right.
But the very, very first, incidents of unicorns that were, dated back to all the way back to Greece and the medieval times and that, and even in the Bible, it's more considered, a large cattle-like creature.
Yeah.
That when it's depicted in images, it's only got one horn because they couldn't draw the other one.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense. So, the original idea of it was that it was this weird mythical creature, and it was, huge, and it had, instead of, being a horse, it had elephant feet and a massive curved horn, and it was actually quite a terrifying creature.
So when you say they couldn't draw the other one, was it just because they were drawing it from a side profile and they couldn't?
Yeah, so there's, in India, they, drew tablets, so you only get, the one side, hieroglyphs.
Yeah.
They only get the one side of perspective of it, and it literally, you only get, the one horn.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any...
Yeah, so
Do you have any information on where the idea for that all came about, or is it just a timeline of where it first started?
No, it's literally just a timeline of where images and ideas of a unicorn came about. It wasn't until later on that people started putting meaning to it.
Yeah, and what is the meaning that they put to it?
Well, there's loads of different ones. There's the medieval myth that it was a beast that died as a passion of Christ,
Right.
and that's where it comes into the Bible.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then obviously there's the ones that we know more about, which is like a creature that's tamed by a virgin. Again, it was going back to the religious side of things, and this virgin relating to the Virgin Mary. And
Okay.
then time goes on and it gets a little bit more strange. So in the 13th century, French authors related to the unicorn as more of lust and passion.
Right.
And like, so some of the quotes is, for instance, is the lover is attracted to this lady as is a unicorn is attracted to a virgin. And
Right.
this is where it gets a bit weird, because then all of a sudden it kind of twists from a beautiful magical creature that's quite strange and isn't as strange looking to something that's hunted.
Right, okay.
So it then goes, so there's a bunch of tapestries that were made, and there's like seven gothic ones, and one is called The Hunt of a Unicorn. And essentially what was depicted, that hunters would essentially place a unicorn, not a unicorn, sorry, a place a virgin
Right.
in like a big field
Yeah.
and leave her there to attract a unicorn, because obviously it's still this vicious kind of looking beast, but it's so attracted to the virgin that it can't help itself and gallops over to her and lays on her chest, and she's like, oh, it's a beautiful unicorn, and then all of a sudden like a bunch of men just come out and try and kill it.
Right.
So it's really weird. But this also leads on to how the unicorn is seen. I don't know if you've ever looked at a pound coin, but like obviously Scotland's national animal is the unicorn. So everything from it being a beast to like being something that's related to Christianity and like the Bible and that. So Scotland used the unicorn as its representative because it was seen as a natural enemy of the lion, which is England's natural representative.
Oh, okay. So this feud
So
between, I guess, America and Scotland's been going for a while.
yeah, so there's parts of it there as well. So that's like the more closer things to like this day and age as to what a unicorn is.
Yeah.
But as I looked more into it, there was also a gentleman called Bertrand Russell, who basically fobbed off all of religion and was like, well, I think it's all anything that's unbelievable, so I'm going to create my own religion as something that you can prove, but you can't prove it wrong, kind of thing.
Okay.
So his version of God, which he claims, was the invisible pink unicorn.
Right.
Because that's how he saw God. He was like, well, basically, God is an invisible pink unicorn. You can't tell me he's not pink because he's invisible. And you can't tell me he's not a unicorn because he's invisible. And this man's crazy. I was looking at him, and basically, he was like, yeah, a teapot floats around the sun. And I was like, what? Why? But it really kind of puts in perspective how religion is quite fucked up.
Yeah.
In the sense of, well, this is what you believe in, but nobody can see it. So, for all we know, it's an invisible pink unicorn. So, moving on, there's like obviously some newer stuff about the unicorn. So, in this day and age, there's a couple of different things. I found out that in the Marvel comics, Unicorn is the code name of multiple villains that have appeared and go against Iron Man.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, that.
Are they all under one kind of banner, or is that just separate villains?
Yeah, they were like a bunch of like men that didn't have powers,
Right.
but they were like trying to go up against him like financially and things like that.
So kind of Iron Man 2, but better.
Yeah, kind of. it was quite strange. And then obviously, like for instance, in gaming, unicorns have been around in a lot of games, and has even appeared in something as common as Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And has been a creature in that for, like, since its earliest editions.
Mm.
However, there is a little bit of, like, a sexual thing to it that I didn't know about.
See, I was going to ask, because when you said about the unicorn being attracted to a virgin, are you saying, like, in a sexual way, or just because they're pure?
It's because they're pure.
Oh, okay.
So the unicorn sees a virgin woman as, like, the most purest thing it can find. Like,
oh, okay.
The same as men have done over thousands of years and gone, well, I want that because it's not done anything.
Okay. Right.
Okay. But it's sexual stuff. It actually ties into the LGBTQ community.
Right.
So a unicorn is slang for a bisexual woman who is free of disease and that, who will sleep and love and a couple equally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just a random one. I was like, I didn't know that. And then there's also a financial company. So if a financial company gets to 1 billion and or over in its makings, it's called a unicorn. And then after that, it's then called a decacorn for 10 billion. And then a hectacorn for 100 billion. So it's like randomly used in the finance world.
Right.
But it's most common and up-to-date meaning and is often used for people, is something or someone that is special or cherished or perfect in every way, rare and highly valued.
Okay. So with the with the financial side, is that all over the world, or is that just, say, in the United States or United Kingdom?
No, it was all over. It was like something that, like, a financial advisor had, like, they've been using as, like, a term for these companies that hit 1 billion.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So, because obviously with the decacorn one, the hectacorn one, the one company that's worth, like, over 100 billion... the recent example of that would have been Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they make way too much money.
So there was something that I wanted to mention within, more modern-day unicorn appearances, and that's what we got in Harry Potter, the first one, The Philosopher's Stone, where we saw a unicorn that had been killed, and spoiler alert for those who are so unbelievably behind, but Voldemort was drinking the blood of the unicorn, which is supposedly cursed and gives you a half-life.
Yes.
Do you know if that lore is fairly new to Harry Potter, or is that something that's been used perhaps since, or even before that?
From what I've looked into, it is only literally Harry Potter that says that.
Oh, okay.
So even when I was looking at the hunting of the unicorns, they were only hunting the unicorns back in the day because they were beasts.
Hmm.
Not because they held precious blood, but when you really think about it, if a unicorn that is like the way it's depicted in Harry Potter is so pure, and you've just gone, well, I'm going to kill this and have its blood, and you're like, well, it's attracted to virgins.
Mm.
So is by any chance Voldemort a virgin? How else did he get it?
I mean, maybe, because he spent all of his time in Slughorn's class asking about Horcruxes and things like that. He probably didn't have much time for anything else.
Totally didn't get laid, at all.
I think that's a problem that they... not to bring it up too much, because I now kind of hate the fandom, but I think that's a problem that, say, for example, Star Wars is going through at the moment, where they introduce a character that has offspring, and you think, at what point did anyone say, oh yes, I'll have a bit of that, or even have time to do that? Of course, I'm using Darth Sidious as an example in that. But let's throw Star Wars away. Let's go back to unicorns. So I know that you've got say if we take it perhaps towards more the kink side or even cosplay side, you've got furries who dress up as dogs and cats, and then you've got scalies who dress up as lizards and dragons. Is there a name for people who dress up as unicorns, both male and female and otherwise?
Probably just call themselves unicorns. I mean, you already know this from talking to me in the past, but like, I personally have a lot of unicorn-based clothing and horns, and I wear it, so, and I would class myself as a unicorn because I'm magical as hell.
That's fair enough.
I presume it would be the same for them.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure with like
Like
the
white rainbow colours.
with the guys who were into things like My Little Pony and things like that. They're sometimes referred to as a brony. I wasn't sure if there was a female equivalent, and then
Oh, there
perhaps
is a
it.
female
Oh, is
equivalent
there?
of a brony.
Okay, what
It's
is that?
a
What was that?
Pegasister.
Oh, okay, for Pegasus, I'm guessing.
So it's a Pegasus, because obviously, sorry, I like watch the My Little Pony thing way too much. So a Pegasister is a female, basically it would be me. Is someone who is very into the fandom of My Little Pony and has watched near enough every episode and possibly even has like the Build-A-Bears of it and more.
That's cool. Okay.
Totally don't have like a good half of the collection
That's
from Build-A-Bear at all.
no, fair enough. So, I know very little about unicorns. They're probably one of the mythological beasts that I know the least about. But are there any other properties that they have? Because there are some that can fly, aren't there?
No,
Oh, are they not?
that's wrong.
Okay.
That is wrong. This is a common misconception. A lot of people go, "Oh, unicorns can fly." And it's like, no, unicorns have a horn on their head. There has never ever been a time when they were given wings. So this
Okay.
is going back to the My Little Pony thing.
Yeah.
A unicorn with wings is an alicorn.
Right.
So they have the ability, so in that fandom, they have the ability to use magic and to fly.
Okay.
A unicorn depicted is usually only capable of magic.
And what kind of magic is that?
What kind of magic is that?
It can be all sorts. I know that when it comes to like a lot of generic ideas, it would be obviously making flowers grow and keeping the forests nice and getting rid of disease in trees and stuff and fixing other animals and whatnot.
Okay.
Or possibly luring in virgins, because
Right.
you know, that's what unicorns do.
So are they considered
So are they
guardians of nature in
guardians
some
of nature
capacity?
in some capacity?
Well, yeah, because in certain like media and aspects of like the unicorn, it is an elegant creature. It's perceived as something slightly higher than a regular animal or horse,
Right.
as such. So
Okay.
I would have presumed so.
Okay. So have you come across any kind of appearances of unicorns within video games? Because it was something that we were going to touch on with a podcast that we were going to do at some point this week, but I think we're going to push back to next week or the following scary games. So I thought I may as well bring up games as another subject in this one.
Off the top of my head, no, but there probably is. As I said, it's in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. And do they have any properties within Dungeons and Dragons that's different, do you know, to their usual lore?
To be honest, I've got no idea.
Right.
I just know that in the game they have unicorns and baby unicorns.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's adorable.
So, you were running a campaign at one point, weren't you, for D&D? Or was that one of your friends?
No, it was me as well.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised then you didn't have unicorns in that.
No, not really. As I said, I did like more of a sugar gummy bear land place, and like a lot of the stuff I took from was like blobs and stuff and goo
Okay.
and slime creatures.
Oh, that's fair enough. I can't remember. There was a slime creature that I came across in one of my first campaigns that was up against a wall, and I got stuck in it, and it was taking damage off of me for however long.
So, I've just looked it up. So, in the D&D 5th edition,
Yeah.
A unicorn has different traits. So it has a charge where if the unicorn moves at least 20 feet straight towards a target and then hits it with a horn attack, the target will take damage.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of cool because apparently that's what unicorns used to do. They used to stab people.
Hmm.
I even have a shirt that says I will stab you with a little unicorn on it.
Oh, yeah, because you
it
said
built in with a natural you said stabbing
that was,
weapon.
You said that was the same shirt place that I got my one from, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if I can say it.
What, the shirt place? Yeah.
Yeah, Tea Turtle?
Yeah.
Called? They do loads of cute little ones. There's like, they've done a few unicorn ones.
Hmm.
But there's loads of different ways. I don't know if like anyone's ever seen like how unicorns have cut. Like, there was a massive fad for unicorns in fashion.
Mm.
Like, it was huge. Like, everywhere you went, you could buy a unicorn everything, which I pretty much did. Went out, bought unicorn everything. Like, I even have a unicorn rainbow tape dispenser.
That's cool.
Like, it's actually kind of, but it's like one of the few mythical creatures that you do see that's taken into like the populace, and nobody really bats an eyelid. Like, small girls go around with a unicorn on the top going, yay, I'm a unicorn, and like people will like you could literally go out and buy horns and wear on your head as like a band, like as a little band.
Mm.
And nobody says anything. I think it's like one of the few mythical creatures that we as a society completely accept with like no judgment whatsoever. We go, yeah, no, it's a unicorn, that makes sense, they're cute, they're sweet.
Mm.
Great.
But I suppose they're one few mythological creatures that actually come closest to a creature that we already have in terms of anatomy, which of course would be a horse.
Mm.
So yes. It's very easy for people to accept something that looks wise is simply just a white or silver horse with a horn.
Yeah. And sometimes considered to, like, you know, poop rainbows. Casually.
Are there any other colours of unicorns?
I don't know. Like, I've generally known, like, so obviously the most generic version of a unicorn is a slightly larger white horse with a horn that tends to be white. But if you look at how media and or, like, it's been represented on the internet and or in general, unicorns can come in a variety of colours and sizes and shapes, and then you'll see unicorn horns being, like, whacked on cats, and you'll see narwhals, and they'll get really popular because, obviously, they're, like, the other version of something that's quite close to a unicorn.
Mm.
And you can get, like, all sorts of different stuff. But they tend to be more, like, pastel rainbow.
Oh, okay.
This is the only thing I don't like about unicorns. It's very gendered.
Mm.
Specifically to women. Like, throughout all of history, it's like, oh, it's for a virgin woman. It's the Virgin Mary. It's, like, for women. It's for young girls. Here is the My Little Pony show with unicorns and that on it, which little girls love. And, like, me being a girl, I'm like, this is the girliest thing about me is unicorns.
But I suppose it's nice to have a balance, because at the moment, if you compare to, say, other mythological creatures, you've got the Hydra, which I don't know about you, but you might consider to be more of a boys-orientated creature, the Minotaur.
Like a Minotaur in that, yeah, because obviously the legend of the Minotaur was that it's a dude.
Mm. But then you guys have also got... I've forgotten her name. I don't want to describe
mermaids?
No. Although you guys do have that. But I suppose you could say mer people. It doesn't just have to be mermaids.
Yeah.
Medusa. There we go.
Oh, yeah. What's the best representation of women? A woman who has snakes in her hair and turns you to stone.
Although I will say, I really hated this film, but Percy Jackson, the Lightning Thief, that was definitely one of the funnest and best variants of Medusa, where she was actually quite pretty,
oh, yeah.
But it was just the fact that she wore the sunglasses.
No, go on.
I was just saying that the fact that she wore the sunglasses was the only part that hid the snakes, and then when she took the sunglasses off, her hair would change, and then you'd be dead.
Yeah. I know, I love the fact that she was in a garden centre. A statue, because that's a normal place you see statues, like the ridiculous ones. You walk in and go, what on earth is that? And she's just got, I've just got a bunch of statues in here. You're like, that's really cool placement ideas in a garden centre.
I suppose that is one thing that that film got quite right, was adapting Greek legends to a more modern setting.
But that's kind of what's happened to unicorns, to be honest. It's like they've gone from elephant feet based beasts that are possibly cattle and whatnot to it's a giant, slightly bigger horse with a fantastic horn and great hair.
Yeah, I wonder what changed that. Maybe it was just the paintings and artwork at the time.
I think it's the same with most things. Like as time goes on, like. It's kind of like Chinese whispers.
Yeah, because it's the same
what
with mer people.
It's never going to be what it ends out to be in the end.
Yeah.
Or what it might have been originally, because my personal belief is that a unicorn would have possibly have been a form of cattle type creature, like a deer or gazelle or anything like that, that just simply had one horn instead of two.
Hmm. Okay.
Because like some descriptions have been like, for instance, a one-horned goat.
Mm.
That makes more sense.
Okay, but it's the same with things like light mer people, where as much as I'd like to think it's a beautiful creature with long silky hair and just generally looks really well kept, it probably is like a disheveled creature with frayed tail and long scaly fingers and basically underwater golem.
The way we treat the planet probably.
Yeah.
Poor fuckers are down there going, can you, like, stop spilling oil now, please? And the unicorns are like, can you stop burning my forests? Thanks.
Because I was wondering if there are any documented modern-day appearances of unicorns.
No.
No?
The only thing you get close to is, like, when people put, like this kind of pastel chalk hair stuff that you can get for girls in, like... a white horse's hair and whack a horn on it.
Hmm.
Or a cornetto if you're in budget.
Okay. That's fair enough. So did you have any more information on unicorns at all?
No, not really. Apart from, like, obviously, it's a really weird thing knowing that, like, I can now go out anywhere and buy anything unicorn-based. Like, yeah. It's literally, it freaks me out when I really think about it. It's like, it's either mermaids or unicorns. But, like, every other mythical creature, you have to really hunt for stuff or go on Etsy to get something that's, like, pre-made for you by someone quite cool.
Yeah.
And then there's unicorns where you can literally walk into Primark and Primark's like, here is a unicorn onesie nighty, and you can lift the hood up and you look like a unicorn. Or, like, you can walk into a normal shop and they go, what? We have unicorn scented, like... Who sat down and went, this is what a unicorn smells like. We must therefore bottle it and sell it to small people. Like, it's the only mythical creature I can think of that's like that.
Yeah, I suppose then, though, again, it's the sellability of the mythological creature. You can sell it to adults as well as you can children, but something as terrifying as the Hydra... And it's also the lore as well, because although, like you mentioned, there's a bit of a sinister part of the unicorn's lore where they would be hunted and killed by tricking them, they're nowhere near as... Their history is nowhere near as blood-soaked as some of the other mythological creatures out there.
No, true, and I think that's why more people like them, to be honest.
Yeah, there's again, it's probably a reason why they can be... That their likeness can be sold so easily, because it doesn't have that dark history behind it.
Yeah, and it was the fact that obviously it's seen as a pure creature.
Okay.
It's like, what are those these days? Apart from puppies and kittens, because nothing's more pure than puppies and kittens.
True. Although I'd like it if mine stopped shitting on the ground.
Well, where else is it supposed to go?
Well, yeah, do it outside, just not in the house.
That's called training, and that's as much as your fault is the dog's.
Yeah, maybe. But
my dog don't poop in our house.
But talking about dogs, I got semi-attacked by a dog today.
What?
Yeah,
How?
so there was this big the only way I can describe it is a cross between a greyhound and a what am I trying to think? A lab oh, sorry, no, a Springer Spaniel. But yeah, so I was walking along and I came across this. I just got off the bus and there was this lady who was locking her gate, and there was this greyhound slash, I can't remember what dog I just said.
Cock spaniel.
Yeah, that. So it had the cocker spaniel ears, but the greyhound body without any kind of hair and completely grey and yellow eyes. And I saw this thing and I thought, okay, I'm gonna try and avoid it, but I think it sensed that I had a little bit of fear towards it.
Trying to avoid it.
Yeah, so it went straight for my hand and got my hand in its jaw. Fortunately, I was able to slip my fingers between its teeth, but then it went straight for my coat and grabbed and did like a ripping motion. And it wasn't until then that the lady realized
Oh
that that was happening and apologized, pulled the dog away. I was too focused on what I was doing. I just said it's fine and walked on. But yeah.
my I've not been attacked by a dog in years, but when I was little, right? So Great Danes are big dogs, yeah?
Yeah.
Like in general. Now, you see me in person, you know that I'm only 5 foot and quite small.
Yeah.
So imagine like me at five. I'm
Well.
a very, very small human. And this Great Dane came out of nowhere, right? And pushed me to the floor and stole my sweets.
Oh.
As I ran off and I was traumatized, I was like, oh my god, this is the biggest dog I've ever seen. Even now, I get a bit wary of like quite larger dogs. I'm like, if you stand on your hind legs, you're taller than me. That makes me a snack. How about no? But then I also don't like small dogs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see the point. Like, you see women, they put like a tiny little dog in their bag, and you're like, why? Get a real dog, get a staffy or something, get like a decent dog that does stupid stuff, not poops in your handbag.
Yeah, I'm afraid I can't talk because I've only got a small dog.
Yeah, when you say small, is it like really small? Because my friend has a chihuahua and a sausage dog.
Oh, okay, he's slightly larger than that.
Yeah, no, they're very small, and all I can think is, my God, you're tiny.
Oh.
Like, you know it's bad when I can pick both of these dogs up and hold them like children, and they let you.
Well, I want to say thank you very much, Oni, for joining us for this episode of Better Show. I think we're on episode 15 at the moment, so we're really blasting our way towards that quarter mark, or 25.
Woo.
We'll eventually get there, but thank you so much for joining us, and we really want to have you back when you're able.
You're welcome, Grandad. That still makes me die that you've called Grandad.
So, whether it is day or night, evening, enjoy your time, life, death, existence, and we will see you guys next week. So, if you want to find us, you can find us on our Facebook page, which is Better Show, spelled BETTA Show. You can also find us on our Instagram page, which is Better Show, but with a little underscore space thing. Also, please go on to Apple Podcasts and rate us there, 5 stars if you are feeling so kind. Also, I'd like to send a massive thank you out to our Facebook community who have been fantastic. All their comments, likes, and shares. Thank you so much for your support. It's great to have you guys. Hope you're all enjoying the show, and we'll see you guys next week.